Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, follow the podcast, go to the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. And look, I want to come on here. I want to record this podcast. I want to get excited about Egan Eagles victory because they did get a win that I knew they'd win that football game. I guaranteed it on Friday. There was no way they're going to lose off their bye to a team on their third straight road game. Schedule spot, the best I've seen the Eagles have in years. Had to have the game. Had the game. Won the game. Big plays by A.J. Brown. Big plays by Devontae Smith. Jalen Hurts played total free football. Some excellent snaps, 92% of them, by the way, by Cooper DeJean. I want to rave about all that stuff. I want to get excited about that stuff. And maybe the Eagles could build on this. But it's hard when the head coach acted like a child on the sideline at the end of that football game. I'm so disappointed in Nick Sirianni. It's unbecoming of a head coach, and I want to dive in here to the real conversation we have to have about this, because he's a distraction. And I'm not sure if he's trying to be one to take the heat off his players, or he just can't help himself. But that's the word I'm using to describe him as this team's head coach. And you never want to, I mean, it's very rare, if ever, you describe an NFL head coach as a distraction. They usually have to deal with distractions. He is the distraction. He is the sideshow next to the game. He's the guy after the game for no reason. Talking about, oh, I called that play. I took a defensive play call away from Vic Fangio. Why? Well, why are you even volunteering this? Especially the defensive side. No one asked you about that. No one imagined that. And are you making this up? Are you creating this circus act so we all pay attention to that and not the fact that your football team was tied 10-10 in the fourth quarter with the Cleveland Browns, who are very likely to buy for the number one overall pick? That's a bad football team. That is a bad team led by a bad quarterback, and the Eagles barely squeaked by them at home after a bye. Nick Sirianni right now is a distraction to his football team. He was a distraction early in the season when his in-game decisions cost them against the Atlanta Falcons. He's a distraction right now because his behavior is unbecoming of a professional head coach. Let's go to the end of the game when Nick Sirianni is jawing on the sideline with his own fan base. The game is at home. The game's in Philadelphia. You know, Fox cameras didn't show who he was jawing with. They didn't show the people. And I was actually half hoping when I saw that it was a group section, you know, even just a few people in Browns jerseys. I was hoping that it was Browns fans, you know, whatever, the 500 of them that maybe were in the building yesterday among the 75,000. I was hoping beyond hope that's what it was. Because although that would have been immature, and really you're letting a couple Browns fans in your home stadium get in your head, at least I wouldn't have had to circle back to the reality that this head coach is literally yelling with his own fan base. And saying, how do you like me now, or whatever, to Eagles fans who paid hundreds of dollars to come watch his football team have a sloppy effort. His football team, for the fifth straight game this year, come out and score 0 points in the first quarter. That's who he's drawing with? But no, as we found out by his answers in the post-game press conference, it was Eagles fans. He doesn't like when they boo. They were obviously getting on him. He probably heard the fire Sirianni chants. Well, you think it's going to stop now? You think you're going to hear less of those if they come back and they're 3-4, which I believe the Eagles are going to be, because I think they're going to lose the next two games in New York against the Giants and then in Cincinnati in a couple of weeks. I think the Eagles are going to come back home 3-4 on November 3rd to take on the Jaguars. That's where I think this season is going. And if Sirianni thinks that fire Sirianni in the middle of a win over the Browns is rough, wait until they're 3-4. And if they get off to a slow start in that Jaguars game, another awful, awful football team. That should be a layup win for the Eagles. We'll see if they get it. It's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder. So it's ridiculous. I think, this guy has not conducted himself like your average, normal NFL head coach for a long time. When they're winning, people excuse it. I didn't. Last year after the Kansas City game, I said I hated the way he acted on the sideline with no decorum yelling at Chiefs fans. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for the guy. But now to do it against our own fans here in Philadelphia, are you kidding? Do not bite the hand that feeds you, Nick. There's a lot of people out there, and we talk to them every day on the Midday Show, that will defend Nick Sirianni, that will put the blame on Jalen Hurst, that will deflect off of Sirianni, that will talk about, well, it's Moore, well, it's Fangio, well, it was Gannon or Steichen or Brian Johnson. By the way, he's the passing game coordinator in Washington. They're lighting it up in the passing game with Jaden Daniels. Or, you know, it was Sean Desai or Matt Patricia. People will look for reasons to excuse Nick Sirianni's lack of acumen and difference-making ability as a head coach. That's fine. People can do whatever they want. But those people are fans of his and fans of the Eagles first. And you can't come at fans. It is the dumbest thing any coach, I mean, first of all, any coach, but any athlete could do. And the athlete, I get it to more of an extent because they're hearing it all the time. And it feels more personal. The coach, you got to be above that. You're the grown-up in the room. You're the adult in the room. How could I have Nick Sirianni trying to keep Jalen Carter composed on the sideline in New Orleans in week three when this guy can't compose himself to Bob and Tim in section 105. Like, oh my God, really? That's what we're doing now? So that there's that element to it. And then, of course, there's the other element, which is he brought his kids to his press conference. And normally I don't care. I've never mentioned this one time because I normally don't care. But yesterday felt different. Yesterday was just the wrong time to bring those children to that press conference. It felt like he was using them as a shield, as a buffer, because he knew after his team, you know, nearly spit on themselves or threw up on themselves for 3 hours, almost lost the Browns. And then when the game ended, him and his sideline antics, you knew the questions were going to be pretty heavy-handed in this one comparatively to other games. You got to tell whoever had the kids, well, I'm not, you know, whatever. I know he mentioned yesterday his parents were there. Not sure if his wife goes to the games every time. I'm not sure they're set up. But obviously, someone's with the kids during the game. So there is a parental kind of figure. There is a trustworthy figure that if he changed his mind and he said, listen, it might not be the best press conference for the kids to be at. We'll do it next time. Then the kids could have went back with those people, the grandparents, the mom, whatever. Whoever it is that he had the kids with during the game, give them back just for, you know, 15-20 minutes. I got to do this. It's going to be a little uncomfortable if they're there. Probably not good for them, not good for me, not good for any of us. That's it. It's not that hard. And obviously family that is in football would understand the reality of that part of the job for the head coach. But no, he brought him out there. Weird, awkward, uncomfortable press conference. He's making jokes. They're not laughing. He's making jokes. We're not laughing. He is critical to the people asking the questions about why are we asking questions about the slow starts as if it doesn't matter, as if teams don't win the first quarter and then win 60% of the games in the NFL, as if his team hasn't scored a point in the first quarter of the entire season. Why is that game close yesterday? The game's close because the first quarter, because they can get out of their own way, and this is after a bye. You know, it's one thing to say in Tampa, in New Orleans, without AJ, banged up, all right, off a bye? With your best players healthy and you can't move the football in the first quarter of the game and you don't think it's going to be asked and to poo-poo it like it doesn't matter or this like arrogant, we got this. Then why are you guys so worried? Well, because the team has looked very mediocre to below average forever now. You know, a calendar year of not what you want. Yes, questions are going to be asked. And then when it comes to your sideline demeanor, I don't care if the players want you to show more energy. Show more energy like a grown-up. You know, sometimes I'm a little tired at home or I'm not, you know, myself. And my kids might say they want me to be more of myself and, you know, be more excited or whatever. Or just, you know, have a little more energy. So you show more energy. I don't go yelling at the neighbors. I don't go outside and start screaming at people because my kids want me to have energy. What are you doing? He's a leader of the football team. And there will be a moment, and it's going to happen soon, where the Philadelphia Eagles, a player or two, will show a lack of composure in a big moment. And I'll point back to Sirianni. How could we expect this football team to show any composure when the head coach shows zero? You can't. You can, and we all know it. That's the worst part. We all know how bad this is, and we're letting it go. We're letting it slip away. And this season, unfortunately, is going to slip away with it if they don't do something drastic here in the next couple of weeks and get Sirianni to wake the hell up. I mean, this is ridiculous behavior from the head coach. If I was Jeffrey Lurie today, and I'm not kidding on this, if I was Jeffrey Lurie today, I'd call my office and I would have him issue an apology to the fan base for his behavior on Sunday. And if he refused to, I'd fire him on the spot. It would be a tenet to keeping his job for the rest of the season that he apologizes to the fan base. It was one of the more unprofessional and more juvenile things I've ever seen a professional coach do, ever. And I've been watching the NFL and I've watched the pro sports for 30 years of remembrance with it. I'm 38 years old. Been watching a long, long time. And I've been watching with a discerning eye as a talk show host for, you know, we're going on 15, 16 years now. I've been doing this a long time. And I have never seen a head coach act like that. And then the press conference was really like, it was almost a nudge. It was almost like and then I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to piss everybody off. And then I'm going to do it to where you can't really do anything to me about it. And I'm going to deflect. And I'm going to talk about how much I love my brothers and high school football in New York, Jamestown, New York, as if anyone gives a crap. I mean, as if anyone gives a crap about Jamestown, New York. I mean, we've heard the spiel over and over and over again. Get a clue. Wake up. Read the room, Nick Sirianni. Your football team just nearly lost at home to the Cleveland Browns off a bye. It was their third straight road game. They have the worst quarterback in pro football. You were favored by nearly 10 points. It was supposed to be a lock. And although you won the football game, did anyone feel particularly great when the Browns had the football in the fourth quarter? I didn't. I was like, oh my goodness, they may give up a game-tying touchdown to Deshaun Watson. If you do that, you might as well pack it in. You might as well pack it in. It's a distraction. The story today should be Jalen Hurts potentially turning a corner. It should be A.J. Brown back and how that changes the concept of the NFC East. We should be talking about a 20-point win for the Eagles to where we now have the conversation off of that with the Niners having their issues this season, with the Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson. Can the Eagles make a run again? How good is the North? Will there be a wild card in the NFC East or they have to win the division? Like, these should be the topics we're discussing. And we're not, because Nick Sirianni chose to put a big old red nose on yesterday and some clown hair and makeup and run around like Bozo. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for yelling. I apologize. See, it's not that hard. Do something silly, apologize. I can't believe we're here with the head coach. If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I would absolutely call my office today and I would say to him, if you don't apologize to the fan base, or I'm just telling you, you will issue an apology to the fan base. If you don't want to do that, you could pack up your office and Kellen Moore will coach the football team for the rest of the season. That's it. Because what I saw yesterday was unbecoming of a head coach of an NFL team. Unbecoming. I can't find one person out there who thinks that behavior was okay. You may want to excuse it. You may like Nick Sirianni. You may not like Jalen Hurts and pin it to then spin it and become a Sirianni guy. But this is a joke. It is a flat out it's a non-starter. I mean, you can't do that ever again. And I keep coming back to this because it's becoming obvious. He's becoming a distraction and one that's not worth the headache. I say this about athletes all the time. We could say about a head coach. Is he worth the headache? Is the talent and the edge you get from having that individual, does that outweigh the angst you get from also having that individual around? And in the case of a lot of people in sports, it is. That's why you put up with divas. It's why you put up with sometimes unsavory characters. It's why you put up with distractions in terms of contracts and money, because the player is worth it a lot of times, or the coach. you know, whether it be a strong personality in the building or, you know, he grinds on people. But if there's results and there's and it's worth it and you get an edge because you have that person, you deal with it. Nick Sirianni is not even close to worth the headache. And that's the worst part about this, because his football team has been outscored and we're heading to week 7 and he's out there jawing with fans. Like, have a little self-awareness, a sense of the moment. Sirianni is lost and his football team will start losing soon with him. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Chris, your YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.